parents. I wish they didn't. They really aren't anything to write home about. Noah, this is Bianca Westbury, my mom. Noah looks at my mom as if he's studying her, learning everything he can about her. She pats down her hair and smiles softly at him. She clasps her hands and then straightens out her skirt again. Noah looks back and forth between us and shrugs his shoulders.
What do I call you?
Bianca sits forward, her hands resting on her knees.
I don't know. Let's see. I call my Nana and Papa, Nana and... Oh, that's funny, huh, Dad?
Dad,
Bianca whispers. She looks at me and smiles.
I think if you called me Grandma Bianca, that would be okay.
She nods and her face lights up.
Yes, I think I'd like Grandma Bianca.
Okay, that's cool.
Yes, cool,
she says. I start laughing and so does Noah. I don't think Bianca has ever said the word cool before in her life.
Noah, tell me all about yourself.
With those words, I am effectively cut out of this conversation. She moves over to the couch and sits next to him. I remember her like this when I was little, before things started changing at my house. I leave them in the living room to get to know each other. I take out my phone and call Josie. She needs to know about my mom coming over and meeting Noah, and I'd rather tell her before Noah lets it slip.
Hi,
Josie says on the third ring. We've started talking every day, but I've avoided telling her how I feel. I want her to come to me when she's ready. I'm not into being someone's rebound, and if she wants me, it has to be forever. Right now, I'm happy having her in my life without drama. You wouldn't believe who knocked on the door a half hour ago.
The delivery man?
She's been giving me so much crap about the amount of deliveries, but I've never had my own furniture before. I may have gone a bit overboard with a few of my purchases, but I plan to own this house forever, and it needs to be furnished properly. I laugh at her. Bianca. Josie only knows how I felt about my parents in high school. I haven't told her about the ultimatum Sterling issued when I decided to leave school. I wait for Josie to say something. There's nothing but silence on her end.
What is it, Jojo?
Did she just show up?
She was bringing a casserole to the new people.
What's going on?
Her tone is making me curious. She's usually bubbly when we're talking, and right now she seems down.
Nothing,
she says, clearing her throat.
So you don't want me to bring dinner tonight?
Even if the casserole was sitting in my kitchen, I'd still want her to bring dinner because having her in my house, knowing she's not going home to anyone, is a great feeling. I can't wait to carry her up the stairs and lay her down in our bed and keep her there forever.
I'm expecting you for dinner, so you might want to hurry up.
She starts laughing and accuses me of using her for her mad food skills, even if she's ordering pizza. I don't deny it, but it's a fine excuse to get her in the door night after night. I'll see you soon, I say, before hanging up. I peek back into the living room. They're still sitting together, deep in conversation. I watch them interacting, and wonder how she could have allowed Sterling to be the way he was. She radiates with excitement when she's talking to Noah. Why couldn't she have been like this with me?
Chapter 30. Josie. Nick has been gone for 3 weeks. The night he told me he was moving, he left. I don't know where he went. Needing a distraction, I went to work the next day, giving Jenna a Saturday to do whatever. When I came home, his stuff was gone. He didn't have much, just clothes, mostly. But I felt his absence when I walked into my bathroom and his shaving cream and toothbrush were missing. I miss Nick. I miss his laughter, his comfort, and how I felt when he held me at night. My heart is not broken. I haven't sat and cried except for the night he left. How I feel is not fair to him. He did the right thing by leaving. He saved us this way. I just want to know if he's okay. Noah and I are spending Christmas at Liam's with Caitlin and the girls. We'll be one extended family dealing with the loss of a friend, husband, and father, together. Caitlin and the girls are with Noah and Liam now, decorating. Liam wanted to wait until I arrived, but I told them to go ahead. I'll have plenty to do later. In hindsight, Jenna should be working. We're busy. Not that I'm complaining about having customers, but an additional set of hands would be nice right about now. My delivery boy is definitely adding to his Christmas fund with chips. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Potter.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Josie. I just love your little shop during the holidays. You do such an amazing job with your decorations and flowers.
Thank you. What can I make for you today?
I'm hoping for an arrangement of red roses and white calla lilies to add a little contrast in my entryway.
Sure thing, Mrs. Potter. I leave Mrs. Potter while she examines the poinsettias. I direct another customer to the flowers he's looking for before walking to my walk-in cooler. I pick up the roses and lilies, along with a few other festive flowers, before heading back. There's a tall blonde lingering at the register. She doesn't have anything in her hand, so I smile at her and tell her I'll be with her in just one moment.
Hi. Excuse me. Are you Josephine Preston?
I am, I say, as I start to arrange the flowers in a crystal vase for Mrs. Potter. She's one of my regulars, always having fresh flowers in her house for something. The new customer just stands there not speaking, so I continue to work. I finish up Mrs. Potter's arrangement and take it to the register where she's added other plants. After I ring her up and she pays, I help her carry her purchases to the car.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. Thank you for shopping here. It means the world to me. She kisses me on the cheek before getting in her car. I hurry back inside. It's freezing out. My hands rub warmth into my arms. I ring up the remaining customers and start working on my next order, taking stock of the few customers left in the store. The blonde walks up to the counter and sets her bag down. Her sunglasses hold her hair back, and I look quickly outside for any hint that the sun has come out, and see none. Tourists always mark themselves so well.
Can I help you?
I ask.
I thought we could talk, she says.
I have to look at her again to make sure I don't know her from anywhere. I don't.
Did you want to make an appointment for a bridal consult, or is it for something else?
She smiles when I mention bridal. She must be in love.
Somehow I don't think my man would appreciate it if I made wedding plans without him.
You'd be surprised. Most don't care. We laugh. She'll learn that guys just nod and say, "Okay, whatever you want, honey." I pull out my appointment book and look at my next available open time.
We don't really need to meet. I just wanted to give you this.
She hands me an envelope. It's manila and fairly light. I look at the return address. It's some lawyer in Los Angeles. This must be the paperwork for Noah to become Liam's beneficiary.
Thanks, I say, setting it aside.
Aren't you at least interested in what I just handed you? She leans on the counter, her long red nails catching my attention. Her twisted smile is devious, as if she's planning something harsh and I'm the tail end of the joke. I pick up the envelope and pull the flap open, taking out the papers and reading them carefully. Anger boils under my skin. He's done what he promised he wouldn't. I put the papers back in the envelope and slide it under the counter next to my purse.
You really should have just mailed them. It seems like a wasted trip.
I try to busy my hands when all I want to do is kick everyone out and race to Liam's to pick up my son.
It's my job to make sure my client's needs are met to the fullest.
Lucky client, I reply, secretly hoping she'll leave. She's done her job. No need to hang around any longer.
By the way, I'm Sam Moreno.
She sticks out her hand. I don't move to shake it. I have no desire to be friendly with her. She pulls her hand back.
Anyway, I'm Liam's manager. From here on out, you'll go through me where your son and Liam are concerned. Also, the last page of the filing I just gave you is for a paternity test.
A what? I squeak out.
Well, you can't expect someone like Liam Page to just hand over cash for a child that might not be his, do you?
I mean, I'm sure that's what you thought he was going to do when you dumped your kid on his doorstep like a money-grabbing little whore. You may have a desire to milk my client's cash cow repeatedly, but I can assure you, I won't let that happen. You should go now. I bite my tongue from lashing out. I know she's just doing the job that Liam hired her for, but I want to gouge her eyes out with my shears and watch them bleed down her smug face. She smiles, picks up her bag, and walks out the door. Customers still linger, but none seem aware of what just took place. I walk up to them calmly and tell them that there has been an emergency and I need to close early. I offer them a discount on their next purchase and promise I'll be open tomorrow. Thankfully, they aren't too upset. The drive to Liam's is messy. I don't even know when it started snowing, but the lightly snow-covered roads make driving difficult. I take in a few deep, calming breaths when I pull into his driveway. He's decorated the outside of his house with white lights. There are candle lights in each window, something I suggested. There's a green wreath with a large red bow hanging on the front door. For the first time, I notice that my name appears on the Santa decoration sitting on the porch. It says, Liam, Josie, and Noah live here. I trace our names before knocking. The door swings open. Liam is standing in front of me. He's confused. His brows push forward.
Why are you knocking?
I should have practiced what I was going to say. I can't look at him. I just want my son. I came to get Noah.
What do you mean you came to get him? We have plans tonight.
Things change. I need to take my son home now. Liam steps forward, down onto the porch. He closes the door behind him. He's standing on the brick porch, barefoot, in a t-shirt and jeans. He must be freezing.
What's going on?
He asks. I step away, creating space between us, only for him to step closer. My head shakes. I can't look at him. I won't.
Jojo,
he says as he reaches for me. I bat his hand away. Don't call me that.
What the hell is wrong?
His eyes flash with rage. Nothing, I answer sharply. I want my son and I want to go home.
Our son.
He seethes. I laugh at his term, our. Are you sure about that, Liam Page? The look he gives me is one of confusion and hurt. I can see the pain in his eyes when I call him by his stage name.
What the fuck are you talking about, Josie?
I can't take it anymore. I can't stand here while he plays stupid. I pull the envelope from my purse. This, I say through tears as I slam it into his chest. You did this after you promised me you wouldn't. I trusted you. Again, and you've broken my heart. Liam pulls the envelope from my hands and tears it open. He reads the first page, then each one after. His face turns white. When he looks up at me, I see fear.
Chapter 31. Liam. Josie has only knocked once since I moved in, so when I open the door and she's standing there, I know something is wrong. I can tell she's upset. Her stance on my porch is defiant. She's pissed off, and I don't know what I did, but I know her anger is because of me. Stepping out onto the porch is probably the dumbest thing I've done all week. It's cold, snowing, and I'm not wearing any socks or shoes. I could care less about not having a jacket on. I'm trying to be serious with her when all I want to do is run back into the warmth of my home. There is nothing more frustrating than a woman who doesn't tell you what's wrong when you ask her. I want to grab her and shake the answer out of her. She stands in front of me, her shoulders hunched, refusing to look at me, to show me her beautiful eyes that I can read like an open book. I tear open the manila envelope that she slams against my chest. My eyes read over words like custody, visitation, child support, and California resident. The last page does me in. It says I'm requesting a paternity test to determine if the child known as Noah Michael Preston is my son. Josie crosses her arms over her midsection, like she's been punched repeatedly. She doesn't bother to wipe the tears that have started cascading down her beautiful face, now marred by deception with my name attached. No wonder she wants to take Noah away. I told her I'd never take him from her, and these papers are telling her I am. This is not what I want. I want us to be a family. I never even thought about this when I found out about Noah. Never in a million years did this thought ever enter my mind. Where did you get this? I demand. I grip the papers, crinkling them in my hand as I shake them. She rolls her eyes and turns away from me, pissing me off even more.
I just want to get Noah and go home. Answer me!
She shakes her head.
Just give me my son!
She yells. Her hands instantly cover her face. I can't. I won't. I will not hand over Noah without having the answers I want from her. I grab her arm and pull her into the house. She resists, fighting me as I drag her through the kitchen and down the stairs to my studio. It's a soundproof room, so we can yell and scream at each other, and Noah won't hear us. I push her into the room and slam the door shut, locking it behind us.
Who gave you these fucking papers, Josephine?
I hate saying her full name, but it gets her attention. She looks up at me, determined.
You know, I thought we could work at this co-parenting thing, but I was wrong. I don't want your money, Liam. I don't need it. Noah and I have managed this whole time on our own, so you don't have to worry about me sucking you dry.
Josie!
No! Let me finish.
She holds up her hand, moving away from me as far as she can get.
No! I yell at her. I will not! Tell me who gave you these goddamn papers! There was no postage, so I know they were hand-delivered. I'm really about to lose my shit here, so just tell me already.
Why does it matter?
Because it's fucking bullshit!
I scream.
I didn't do this! I don't want this! I don't want to take Noah away from you or Beaumont!
I stalk over to her and push her up against the wall. My body is pressed against hers as my hand cups her face gently. I want to do nothing more than to kiss her, to rip all her bulky winter layers away from her body and feel her skin against mine.
I love our son, Josie. I love him so much. I would never do anything to hurt him, and taking him away from you would do that.
I try to calm down. I know who's behind this, and for me, this is the last straw.
Her name is Sam.
She says so quietly I almost don't hear her. But catching Sam escape from her lips is all the answer I need.
Listen to me,
I say, pulling her chin up so she's looking at me.
I bought this house with you in mind. I'm here because this is where my family is. You and Noah. I want to be with you.
Sam's my manager and has clearly overstepped her boundaries. I don't know how she knows about Noah, but I'll find out. The last thing I want to do is hurt you. I love you, Jojo.
Please don't take him,
she begs. I hate seeing her cry. I hate the look of desperation on her face. I'm going to kill Sam for doing this to Josie, to us. We don't need this drama in our lives. I push a few strands of loose hair behind her ear. She leans into my touch, rubbing her cheek against my rough palm. I can't resist. I kiss away her tears until I find her mouth. I place three kisses along her lips, the first two in the corners, before testing her reaction in the middle. She's receptive. Her hands pull me forward, closer. I stop too soon for both of us. I want her, but not like this.
Don't you want me?
She whispers against my lips. I do, so much, but not like this. Not in my studio where Noah can see us. I pull away from her and look into her beautiful eyes. I want every part of you in my life, Jojo, when you're ready. We walk back upstairs, hand in hand, leaving the papers in my studio. I'll deal with them later. The first thing I need to do is call my lawyer and have them retracted. I don't even know what to do about Sam. Another question for my lawyer is if I can fire her. How much will it cost me to get out of this contract? She's gone too far this time. Noah and I start to set up the tree, centering it in front of the large picture window facing the street. Josie comes in, her face reserved. I know every expression she has, and this one is hesitant, as if she's walking on eggshells. I need to fix this, and fast. I purposely slant the tree. When she huffs, I turn my head and hide my smile. She starts to boss us around, telling us right, left, and finally throws her hands up when we don't listen to her. She leaves us men to the hard task of making our tree stand upright, while she goes to the kitchen and works on making finger foods for tonight. Caitlin, the girls, Harrison, and Quinn will be here shortly for our decorating party. The Westbury men will have none of that. Noah and I sneak up on her in the kitchen. He tackles her from one side and I the other. When she screams, we start laughing. I can't help but kiss her. I hear Noah snicker and walk off, so I kiss her again. I know I shouldn't, but I can't help it. I love her. I kiss her a third time briefly on the lips when the front door bursts open. Caitlin yells to the girls to be respectful. Josie pushes me away. It should hurt my feelings, but it doesn't. I know she wants to focus on Caitlin during the holidays. I make the decision to start wooing my girl. She needs to be romanced. When Josie and I bring food into the living room, the kids, like vultures, attack right off. I leave them to answer the door. Harrison and Quinn are standing there, both holding out bouquets of flowers. "You shouldn't have," I say, reaching for the flowers. "Well, you are a sexy beast," Harrison says as he bats his eyelashes. I invite them in and direct them toward the festivities. Josie and Caitlin look up and smile when we enter. "This is my Josie and our son Noah." I point to Noah, who looks up briefly and waves. "Nice to meet you, Harrison. Hi, Quinn," Josie says, bending down to his level. Quinn waves as he inches closer to his dad, but hands Josie the bouquet of flowers. "You know she's a florist, right?"
"Shut up, Liam. They're beautiful. Thank you, Quinn."
Josie eyes me like I'm in some sort of trouble. I sort of wish I had taken advantage of her downstairs, if she's going to look at me like that. "Harrison, this is our friend Caitlin and her daughters, Peyton and Elle." Both girls look up and smile before they go back to sorting the ornaments. Caitlin shakes Harrison's hand, and in slow motion, he hands her the bouquet. She accepts the flowers, bringing them in so she can inhale their scent. Her eyes look up at him, his hand still holding the bouquet. "Hi," he says, as if he's just run 5 miles. "Shit," I say, shaking my head. Josie looks from them to me, her eyes going wide. I pat Harrison on the shoulder and laugh. He lurches forward before catching himself, never taking his eyes off of Caitlin. Christmas just officially became interesting.
Chapter 32. Josie. The smell of coffee wakes me. I bury my face into my pillow. The lingering scent of Burberry aftershave weaves its way through my senses. Liam kissing me in his studio and again in the kitchen replays in my mind. I reach for him. I just need to feel him. To have his touch burning my skin, knowing he's the only one who can extinguish the fire. His side is empty and cold. I sit up suddenly. The bed covers are straight, untouched. His pillow is missing. I flop back onto mine and cover my face. I can't believe the simple smell of him can bring back such vivid memories.
"Are you sure we won't get into trouble?"
I'm whispering, even though he's assured me his parents are gone. Not just at work or the grocery store, but on a plane, heading for a cruise. How he convinced them to leave him home, I'll never understand. But I don't care, because I get Liam all to myself. He opens the door from the garage to the house. We stop in the kitchen briefly while he takes out two water bottles from the refrigerator. We climb the stairs hand in hand until we reach his room. He hands me the water and pulls my silk scarf from my neck. Coming behind me, he places kisses along my neck before tying the scarf over my eyes. What are you doing?
Trust me,
he says against my skin. I do trust him. With my life. He opens his bedroom door, his hands under my shirt, his fingers guiding me forward. His door slams shut, causing me to jump. With my eyesight hindered, my other senses are heightened. Liam stands behind me, his breathing labored. When he moves away, I want to follow him. Something clicks, and the smell of cinnamon and something sweet, like cookies, permeates through the air. He takes the bottles out of my hand and pulls me toward him. I stumble into him, my hands gripping his arms so I don't fall.
I'll never let you fall, Jojo.
He brings me into the middle of his room and into his arms. He caresses my cheek.
I love it when you blush,
he says huskily. His lips find mine, urgent with need, as he pulls the scarf loose.
Merry Christmas, my girl,
he says, as goosebumps spread across my skin. He picks me up, my legs wrapping around his waist as my hands tug at his clothes. He lays me gently on his bed, pulling away. I reach for him, causing him to laugh. I look around the room. He's decorated it with Christmas lights and a small tree with a few presents underneath it.
Which do you want to open first?
He asks. You, I say, as I pull him down on top of me.
Merry Christmas!
The door swings open, and I'm greeted with the most beautiful sight in the world, my son and the man I am desperately trying not to love. I scoot up and attempt to straighten the rat's nest that has developed overnight. Noah jumps up on the bed with a small box in his hand. Liam follows, carrying a mug of coffee. He bends down as I reach for the cup and whispers, Merry Christmas, into my ear. I want to pull him to me, just like the last time we were together at Christmas. But I refrain.
This is for you.
Noah shoves the small box toward me. I take a sip of my coffee before putting it down on the nightstand. I don't know how I didn't notice the picture before, but there's Noah and I framed, staring back at me. I don't know when Liam took the picture, but it warms me knowing we're the first and last people he sees before going to sleep. I smile at Liam, who looks a little embarrassed. I'll be sure to ask him about it later. I take the gift out of Noah's hand and untie the large, silky white bow. Noah scoots up next to me while Liam sits just out of my reach. I lift the lid on the black box. Nestled inside is a diamond, heart-shaped pendant resting against crushed velvet.
Look inside,
Noah says giddily, setting the box down. I slide my nail in between the ridge. It pops open easily, and staring back at me is Noah and his toothless grin.
You're supposed to be happy, not cry, Mom.
I'm very happy, Noah. Thank you so much. I love it. He reaches over and gives Liam a high five.
You were right, Dad.
Noah jumps off the bed and heads for the door.
Come on, guys. Santa came.
Liam starts laughing and stares at the door until he's gone. As soon as he hears him downstairs, he moves closer to me. He takes the box from my hand and removes the necklace. I lean forward, bending my head and wait for him to clasp the chain around my neck.
Eager?
He asks. My eyes find Liam's. He's focused on me. I pull my hair to the side farthest away from him. He leans in, his scent enveloping me. His fingers linger on my skin, following the path of the chain across my collarbone. I turn my head slightly, hoping to catch his lips. He doesn't disappoint. His lips brush against mine ever so lightly. Liam, I whisper. He pulls back and rubs his hand over his face. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. I just don't want to rush this. I need you to be ready, and not some rebound because you're hurting from Nick.
But...
No buts. You were with him for a long time, and things just ended.
I'll be patient, Jojo.
He stands and leans over me. I have to lean back so I can see him.
You will be mine again.
Once Liam is out of the room and my heart rate has returned to normal, I climb out of bed and change into something presentable. The moment I open the door, my name is being yelled from downstairs. When I enter the living room, 7 pairs of eyes are staring at me. Apparently, I'm the last one to get out of bed this morning. One look at the tree, and I see why everyone is ready. Santa came and brought the mall with him. I don't know where all this stuff came from, but whoever played Santa just made these kids year. Liam dons a Santa hat and passes out presents one by one. The look of elation spreads across his face when he reads his own name. He rips the paper off, causing the kids to laugh. The lid of the box goes flying, and tissue paper rains down on us. He pulls out a photo album and starts flipping through the pages. "Do you like it?" I ask him, as his fingers ghost over 10 years' worth of photos of Noah. He stands and rushes over to me, picking me up. I wrap my arms around him, our faces buried in each other's necks.
"Thank you so much,"
he mumbles against my neck.
"I love it. I love it so much, Josie."
"I think your dad loves your mom," Quinn says to Noah. Harrison and Liam start laughing, as do Caitlin and I. Liam returns to his Santa duties, each child getting ample attention for each gift. I've held Caitlin throughout the morning. She occasionally wipes tears. Some are happy that Liam has made her girls' Christmas so special, and others are for Mason. After all the wrapping is thrown into the fireplace, Caitlin and I take to the kitchen to prepare dinner. The kids disperse throughout the house. Elle is with us while Peyton watches TV. The boys have gone outside to play with their new paintball guns, while Liam and Harrison have retired to the studio to jam. I don't know what that means, but it makes Liam smile. Once Caitlin and I finish preparing dinner, I cuddle on the couch with Peyton while she and Elle snuggle up in the chair by the fire. When Liam comes up an hour later complaining that he and Harrison are hungry, I offer to make their lunch. He follows me into the kitchen, pulling at my hair. "What are you doing?" He walks toward me until I'm cornered.
"I like seeing you comfortable in my house."
"Oh, yeah?"
"Mm-hmm. We need to go on a date."
"What happened to waiting and being patient?" I'm losing whatever nerve I've told myself I need to keep around him. I want to be with him, but I also understand what he's saying about Nick. It's too soon, but I know what I want, and it's Liam. I wanted him the day he walked into my shop. I'm just scared. Liam shrugs. He fingers the buttons on my shirt.
"I will be patient, but I want to spend a lot of time with you."
"Okay."
"Yeah? How about New Year's Eve? Just us?"
He's close enough to kiss. I lean forward only for his head to turn when the doorbell rings. "You didn't invite your mom, did you?"
"No, definitely not. I'll be right back."
He kisses me on the cheek, leaving me frustrated and alone.
"Hey, baby."
I freeze when I hear the same voice from the other day. I walk down the hall, quietly.
"Sam, what the—"
"Oh my God." I gasp loudly as my hand covers my mouth.
Chapter 33. Liam. This has been the best morning I've had in a long time, from the moment when Noah and I woke up Josie with her gift to the unwrapping of mine. I can't wait to spend hours combing through every photo Josie gave me. Even though I'm not in them, having pictures of Noah when he was a baby, toddler in his first Halloween costume means everything to me. I know I told Josie I can be patient, but I'm not sure I can. Seeing her in my bed, with her long dark hair spread across the pillow, makes me want to claim her as mine. I knew I was a goner when I walked upstairs, complaining about being hungry, and she offered to make Harrison and I lunch. Seeing her move around my kitchen, like she owns it, makes me want to have her here every day. But I'm afraid. She was with Nick for a long time, and you just can't turn off your emotions. I should know. I tried, The sound of the doorbell saves me from making an error in judgment. Swinging the door open, her back is facing me, but I'd know that head of blonde hair anywhere. She turns and smiles as she steps in.
"Hey, baby,"
she coos. I swat at her hand when she tries to touch my face with her fake fingernails. She just shrugs and opens her coat. She's clad in a barely-there bra and panties. Her stockings are held up by garters. At one time, I found them sexy, but not so much anymore.
"Sam, what the—"
"Oh, my God!"
I turn at Josie's gasp. The look on her face isn't anger, but hurt. She runs up the stairs, and the slamming of my bedroom door makes me jump.
"Cover yourself up! There are children in the house!"
I walk away from her toward the dining room. I don't want her anywhere near the living room with Caitlin and the girls. Caitlin comes around the corner and motions that she's going upstairs. I nod and prepare for what I'm about to do.
"Sit down, Sam. We need to talk. And keep yourself covered."
I sit across from her. It's a safe distance, so I won't hit her, and she won't try and touch me. "I spoke to Brandon the other day."
"Me too,"
she says happily.
"This would be the day the mother of my son showed up demanding that I return her son to her."
"I took care of all that, baby."
"Sam, I'm not your baby, and I'm never going to be. What you did was wrong on so many levels. I never doubted that Noah's mine. I also don't want custody. Josie wasn't some girl I met backstage. She was my girlfriend. How did you even know about Noah?"
She shrugs and starts looking at her fingernail. I know her game. This is the "I have the answer, but I'm not giving it" game. I slam my hand on the table to get her attention.
"I've been with your dad's agency since I started, and never once have I questioned the integrity of his firm. But right now, your job depends on it. I suggest you answer me."
"I didn't know you wanted him,"
she mumbles.
"What did you say?"
Sam rolls her eyes and sighs heavily. She's acting bored.
"Someone claiming to know you called the agency when you first started. I put the messages in your file."
I bite the inside of my cheek, my hands clenching.
"You knew I had a son and didn't tell me?"
"My dad said it was bad for your image."
"He's my goddamn son!"
I get up and pace, my hands pulling at my hair.
"She said she called and left messages. You took her calls and listened to her beg. Are you that much of a bitch, Sam? That woman calling you was my girlfriend, and she was pregnant and scared, and you ignored her. You kept my son from me. My God, how fucking heartless can you be?"
"Daddy did what was best."
"You're fired. I'm done with you. Get out of my house."
"Liam,
don't."
I hold up my hand for her to shut the hell up.
"I said I'm done. I don't want you here."
"You need me."
"No, I don't. Get out."
"You heard him."
I turn to find Josie leaning against the entryway. Her arms are crossed and she's been crying.
"This is our house and you need to leave. You're not welcome here." "Is this what you want, Liam?"
I can't help it. I smile at Josie and wink. "Yeah, she's the boss. If she says go, you go. Brandon will send you the separation agreement by the time you reach your car." I pull out my phone and text my lawyer to finalize the paperwork he started yesterday.
"You'll be sorry."
I step closer to her. "I'm already regretting the past 10 years with you and your dad, so no, I won't be." Sam gets up and walks to the door. She takes one look at me and shakes her head. I know she's about to cry, and I don't care. As soon as the door closes, I pull Josie into my arms and hold her as if this is the last time I'm ever going to get the chance.
"I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I'm so very sorry for not being there for you,"
I tell her repeatedly. She strokes my hair, comforting me when I should be the one down at her feet, groveling for forgiveness. With one single message, all of this could have been avoided. Caitlin and Harrison watch everything as it goes down. Harrison starts clapping when the door slams. I knew he was never a fan, but Sam made us money. Guess we'll have to figure that part on our own.
Well, that was interesting, Caitlin says.
Harrison looks down on her, his smile wide. I'm going to have to tell him to chill when it comes to Caitlin.
Just so you know, if you need a manager or something, I can probably help out for a bit.
You're hired, Harrison blurts out, causing Josie and I to laugh. I shake my head and drag my friend away from his newest obsession. Although, I guess if Caitlin is going to start dating ever again, Harrison would treat her right. Harrison and I emerge from the studio well after dark. He carries a sleeping Quinn upstairs, telling me goodnight along the way. I stay in the kitchen, ready to clean up the dinner mess. I told Josie and Caitlin I'd clean since they cooked a full dinner and dessert for everyone. When I flip on the light, however, there isn't a dish in the sink or on the counter. I look around and notice the small touches of Josie everywhere. Fresh flowers on the windowsill, hand lotion by the sink, and the most obvious, our matching mom and dad mugs from Noah. They're sitting side by side, next to the coffee pot, which is already set to go off in the morning. This means one thing. She's planning on spending the night. That means I'm sleeping on the couch. I shut off the kitchen light and check the back door to make sure it's locked. I check the front door, as well, and turn off the remaining lights. I decide to leave on the candle lights that sit in the windows. I'm hoping Josie is still awake, and maybe can talk. We haven't really talked since before Nick left, and I need to know where her head is. One moment she acts like she wants to be with me, and the next she can't stand to be in the same room as me. I don't want to pressure her, though, but I also don't want to sleep on the couch. One concern I have, and shouldn't, is the relationship between Nick and Noah. Noah hasn't said anything about Nick leaving suddenly, and has seen me kiss his mom. This is not the example I want to set for him. I want him to learn boundaries and respect for women when they're in relationships with other men. I have not done that with Josie. Of course, Liam Page never cared. But Liam Westbury does. Josie is sitting on the couch, looking through my photo album. Her legs are covered with her grandma's afghan, the nameless cat curled up in her lap. There is a soft glow around her, her dark hair being held back by the white ribbon Noah used to wrap her necklace in. I lean against the wall and watch her as she studies each page, every now and again her face lifting in a smile.
Are you just going to stand there and watch me?
I push off the wall and walk toward her. She closes the book and adjusts the way she's sitting. I take the spot next to her and pull her legs into my lap, the cat hissing at me. She laughs and sets him on the floor. I like watching you. I have a lot of time to make up for.
Not with me, she replies softly.
Yes, with you. I've missed so much. Like the day you opened your flower shop, or how you came up with the name Whimsicality.
I miss the day you brought Noah into this world and saw him for the first time.
I missed your late-night cravings and his midnight feedings. I'll never forgive myself for not being there, Josie. I won't. I know you're about to tell me it's okay, but it's not. I trusted the wrong people to take care of me when I'd left behind the one person who would have taken care of me the best. I was selfish and scared, and instead of talking to you, I ran. But I promise you, I'm done running. I'm still selfish, but only where you and Noah are concerned. I have years of spoiling to make up for, and I plan to spend every day of my life making sure you both know how much I love you. Josie wraps her fingers around mine.
I'm trying not to love you. I'm telling myself that this is just a show for you, to make Noah happy. I'm so afraid to show up one day and walk in and find that you've moved on because I've taken too long to make up my mind about us.
I knew she would feel like this, which is exactly why I didn't push myself on her. I've looked for you every day of my life since I left you in your dorm room. Every show, pub, or appearance I did, I thought for sure you'd show up somewhere. Not once, not even a glimpse. I desperately wanted to see you just once. When I read about Mason, I knew I had to come. I told myself I'd show up and leave, in and out, and no one would know I was here. But I ended up leaving a few days early because I wanted to see you just so I could tell myself I did the right thing.
Why did you leave? You never said.
The dreaded question. The one I knew she shouldn't have to ask. I should have just told her the first day I saw her in her flower shop. When I got to college, I shaked my head feeling stupid. Now that I'm an adult, I would have done things differently. God, Josie, it sucked. Mason was supposed to come with me. I mean, we planned this. And then he goes and changes his mind. I was there. He wasn't, and you weren't. I was lonely and hated everything about it. This one day, I'm sitting in my room feeling sorry for myself, and I get this call. She tells me her name is Betty Addison, and I'm so confused until she tells me she's my grandma. I rub my thumb over the top of her finger. She wanted to have lunch and talk, so I did. I had nothing to lose and never had a chance to get to know her, so I met her. We spent a week together, having lunch, talking, and getting to know each other. She told me things about my mom and why they don't speak to each other. I learned a lot in that week. She asked me what I wanted to be if I wasn't going to play football. "What's your passion, Liam?" she asked me. I told her music. I had been spending a lot of time on campus at open mic, and I loved it.
"I wish I'd known that you loved music that much."
"You had this dream, and I didn't want to change that for you. I was doing what was expected, but Betty, she invited me to Los Angeles, so I went and loved it, and knew I had made the best decision for me, even though it meant destroying us. The thing is, I never expected to see Noah in the bathroom that day, but it was like fate or some shit telling me that my life is in Beaumont. I went right to your shop and waited. I watched for you. And once I saw you, I knew I was going to end up chasing my girl, waiting for you to turn around and see the real me and love me for who I am and not what I did to you. I'm standing in front of you, Josie. You just have to turn around.
Chapter 34. Josie. I could easily fall into a routine with Liam. How soon is too soon, though? Is there a rule book I need to follow? Liam and I have never shared a home. We didn't go off to college together and have the opportunity to sleep in each other's dorms. Being here, it's peaceful, sharing the same space that he's in, almost like the walls bask in his presence. I haven't left since Christmas. We didn't discuss me staying. I just stayed. I guess that makes me a bit like Nick. For the first few nights, he slept on the couch or in his studio until I couldn't stand it anymore. I finally found the nerve to pull him upstairs with me and into bed. He held me all night, his hands never once wandering away from their placement on my hip. We're apparently keeping things platonic, even though I know he wants me, and I want him. I'm dreading the return to my house. School starts back up in a few days, and while this has been a nice vacation, reality is pushing itself back into my life. I caught Liam and Harrison discussing a possible move to Beaumont. I know that would make me happy because that means Liam isn't traveling back and forth all the time to work. And I think Harrison has a crush on Caitlin. There is no mistaking he has eyes for her, and watching him with the twins during Christmas, as much as I hate to say it, I know Mason would approve. Tonight, Liam has promised me a night filled with debauchery. He says we've missed far too many New Year's Eves. When I asked him what the night will entail, he just smiled and walked away. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't driving me crazy not knowing his plans. With Noah packed and in the car, the drive over to my parents is nerve-wracking. They haven't been too impressed with Liam's return. Not that I can blame them. Because of his involvement with Noah, my parents have been in the shadows. It's not that I don't want them around, but under the circumstances I thought it best to let Liam get to know Noah without my parents stringing him up on a burning stake. I can't blame my parents for their feelings. They were the ones who had to pick up the pieces and take care of their pregnant teenage daughter. My mom was there, holding my hand, when I delivered Noah, when it should have been Liam. My parents are bitter. I get that. But people can change. This will be the first time seeing my parents since Thanksgiving. They just returned from a holiday cruise. I told them about Nick over an email. Not necessarily the way I wanted to tell my parents that my boyfriend of 6 years has left. But I also didn't want them to find out through town gossip. My dad is waiting for us on the porch when we pull into the driveway. Noah jumps out of the car before I have it turned off and runs into his arms. If Noah wasn't 9, I'd say he's excited about seeing his grandparents. But I have a feeling it's more about the second Christmas he's about to have. I carry an armload of presents into the house. I love the smell of my parents' home. The fresh-baked bread, pies, and cakes always coming out of my mother's oven gives their house a welcoming and the all-over home feel. "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year," I say as I enter. My parents are already sitting on the couch listening to Noah rattle on about everything he received for Christmas. And his new friend, Quinn. Each time he mentions Liam's name, my dad glares at me. I knew things would be a bit on edge, but honestly, it's my life, and I made the best decision for me and my son. I should be respected and not made to believe I've done something wrong. After we've caught up, presents are handed out. Noah is buried under the mountain of gifts my parents bought him. "Can I start?" he asks. My dad laughs and tells him to start ripping. I don't like Christmas this way. It's too fast, and you miss what's being opened. I keep my stack of presents, all sweaters, skirts, and scarves, the same as every year, on the floor, and watch Noah. "Oh, cool! A remote-control car! My dad is going to love this!" My dad grunts and stalks out of the room. I get up and follow him into the kitchen. His hands grip the edge of the counter as he mutters to himself. "Dad," I say, touching his shoulder. He stands and looks at me with sadness in his eyes. "I know you're upset about Liam, but you can't let Noah see or hear you like that. He doesn't know anything other than Liam being his dad. He's trying really hard to build a relationship with Noah, and we need to support it. I know you don't like it, but I need you to put on a game face for your grandson."
"He's going to hurt you, Josephine."
I shake my head. "He's not, Dad."
"You don't."
"I do. I can feel it. Things are different. He didn't know about Noah. You should have seen his face when he found out. I knew right then that he would have been here, Daddy. I know it in my heart." I pull my dad into my arms and hold him. He's been my rock for so long. I know he's afraid that Liam is going to run for the hills, but I have to trust my heart with this one. The rest of the afternoon goes well, even though each time Noah mentions Liam, my dad fights a grimace and plasters on some sort of smile. I can't imagine how he feels. He was there when I needed him most, but I now need Liam. Noah also needs Liam. He needs his dad. And even though he had Nick, I can't deny the instant bond Liam and Noah have. It was evident the first time I saw them together. Noah knew Liam was his dad, and treated him as such without calling him out. I know I'm making the right decision. I kiss Noah goodbye after we eat an early dinner. I promise to pick him up tomorrow afternoon for our annual college football party at Caitlin's. My parents don't ask me what my plans are for tonight, but as I'm leaving, my dad whispers for me to be careful. Driving back to my house seems surreal. When I open the door, It's cold and uninviting. For the first time, I look at the walls and think they are drab and in need of a serious paint job, even though I just painted them in the spring. Everything feels as if it's lacking life. I know that if I want to be with Liam, I need to show him. Words aren't going to be enough. Not for him, at least. He needs to feel it in his heart that I'm committed to him. He wants us to be a family, and I want that too. I don't want to spend any more nights away from him. I've been waiting since I was 15 to have the opportunity to wake up in his arms day after day. So what if we had a 10-year roadblock? The opportunity is here now, and I need to take it. I take a quick shower, careful not to get my hair wet so I can curl the ends. Tonight I've opted for a royal blue one-shoulder metallic dress. Caitlin and I found it at an after-Christmas sale that was too good to pass up. My hands shake as I apply my makeup. I mess up too many times to count and have to start over. The last time I was this nervous was my first date with Liam. Of course, any girl is a bundle of nerves when they're going to their first major dance, but it was more for me then, and it's the same now. I want everything to be perfect. I wash my face and start over, climbing up onto the counter because I can barely stand without having my knees shake. I slip in my earbuds and turn on some soothing music. With deep, calming breaths, I focus on making my eyes smoky. It takes me longer than usual to fix my makeup and hair. I pin my hair to the side, away from the shoulder that is going to be exposed. My teardrop diamond earrings are in, and I'm ready for my dress. That's what I tell myself as I stand in front of my closet staring at it while it mocks me. What if he doesn't like the dress? What if he thinks I'm trying too hard? Maybe I should just wear jeans and cowboy boots. He's always liked that look. But that was before he went to Hollywood and became famous and had women, gorgeous, beautiful women, throwing themselves at him. In dresses much shorter, no less. I shake my head to try and get the image out of it and give myself a pep talk. I can't think like this, because if I do, I know I'll be a nervous wreck by the time I arrive at Liam's. Removing my outfit carefully from the hanger, I step into it, shimmying until I can push my arm into the sleeve. I step into my peep-toe heels and take a deep breath before looking in the mirror. I stand there with my eyes closed and imagine Liam staring at me. In my mind, he's smiling as his eyes wander over my body. He's remembering what I feel like under his touch and how his lips make my body sing to him. He'll pull me to him and carry me upstairs. Our night forgotten because he knows I'm ready. Ready for him and no one else. My palms sweat. My body is flushed. I open my eyes and stare at the woman in the mirror. Staring back is a girl I once knew. One that shined and sparkled every time she was about to go see her boyfriend. This girl looks happy. I try not to speed while driving back to Liam's. I'm anxious, and my heart is racing. My hands slip repeatedly from the steering wheel. My foot misses the gas one too many times. I'm a danger to the people on the road, but I can't hurry. My mind is clouded with thoughts of me under Liam as he makes love to me. I need to make Liam want me as desperately as I want him. Liam is at the door before I can set my hand on the knob. I swallow hard when I see him. He's dressed from head to toe in black. His shirt sleeves are rolled, showing off the tattoos on his forearms. I lick my lips in anticipation of being able to trace each one with my mouth. He's wearing a black leather bracelet on his right wrist and a watch on the other, both of which I want to take off so he's free of any obstacles when I finally get to touch him. His blue eyes darken as he looks at me. When he licks his lips, I go weak in the knees and have to balance myself by holding onto the door jamb. I don't know if my date is with Paige or Westbury, but I think tonight I'd like to go out with Liam Paige.
Chapter 35. Liam. I pull the door open before she has a chance to open it. My day has been utter shit with her gone. I don't know how I grew accustomed to her being here so quickly, but I did. Waking up next to her these past few days has been beyond words. Holding her in my arms while she sleeps, and feeling her body against mine, indescribable. Many times, I've wanted to take her, claim her as mine, but I've held back. I need to do this right.